Hey there, everybody. It is Nick Bradley here. This week's show is going to be just me, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time answering a pretty big question. And it comes up a lot, but it also comes off the back of a previous podcast episode, which is actually the number one downloaded episode that I've ever done. And that's, you know, over 350 episodes. And it's the show where I talk about the 15 reasons why your business won't be acquired by private equity. If you haven't listened to that episode, I suggest that you do, because it's kind of required listening in a number of educational programs out there. And that, not that that surprises me, because there's a lot of stuff around private equity that is misunderstood. But the fact that it's been picked up by business schools and all that sort of thing as a valuable resource is something that I'm very proud of. So what I wanted to do today was extend the thinking there, because I know a lot of you have businesses. You may not be at a point right now where you're ready to exit, and you might even be thinking it's, you know, 5-10 years away. But our mission here, you know, so my coaching consultancy business is to allow you to create the option to exit on your terms and timeline. So as much as I talk a lot about private equity, I talk a lot about exiting businesses for millions, all that sort of stuff. I know that's kind of a dream for a lot of you listening. It's really about having the choice to be able to do that at any point that you wish to. So the question, coming back to the topic, if you like, or what I'm going to talk about today, it's getting prepared. It's getting prepared for a high value exit, an exit that you can orchestrate, most definitely, once you know how to do it. But more importantly, as I said, giving you the option to exit when you choose to on those terms that are so critical. So think of today as me running through learnings from private equity, different things that I've learned working with now hundreds of business owners personally, but sort of thousands that have come listening to this podcast over the last 5 years. And I want to go through the key areas that you need to be considering. Okay, so let's do that. It's important, I think, to understand it now. And the cool thing here is that you can start to apply this stuff now, even if that exit that you dream of is, you know, well and truly in the future. So the first thing I want to kick off is that the dream, if you like, of a high value exit, of exiting your business for millions, is something that is very much attainable to most entrepreneurs. Now, you might think, well, hold on, my business right now isn't even worth close to what I'd want to sell it for. You might even be thinking, hey, I'm making great cash flow in my business. Why would I ever want to sell it? Well, remember what I said at the very beginning here. This is not necessarily about you, you know, running down, you know, the road to sell your business in the next 12 months and, you know, rushing to get it done. It's not about that. Even though I would impress on you that the world is changing quickly these days, and you never want to be in a position where there's a massive pivot in the market and you're stuck in a situation where your business has become disrupted. Right? So you want to have the choice that if you ever do need to kind of go down that sort of exit runway somewhat quickly, your business is in that situation, okay? In the situation of being prepared, right, for you to create the outcome. So if the dream is that high value exit, what are the various characteristics? And there are three, okay? There are three stages that I feel a business needs to go through. And the other thing about this is you might already be really good at one of the stages, so therefore you can migrate to the next one. But the third stage, right, the third level, is something that I think all business owners need to get better at. Certainly of the conversations I've had, because there's a massive gap between the level of kind of current awareness and education around how to create a high value exit and the practicalities of doing so. So let's kick off with the beginning here. So when I first either acquire a business, or when I acquired a business in private equity, or if someone comes to me and they have a business, one of the first things that we look at is the structuring of the company, right? The foundations of the company. Lots of people come to me and they want to scale, right? The show is called Scale Up, so that is natural, but they're doing it from pretty poor foundations, and they don't quite appreciate that if you stack more growth, particularly strategic growth, onto what you've currently got, it's not going to serve you very well. Okay. In fact, those foundations could crack and then you might be in a worse off position. So I often say when people come to me, they're in a state or their business is in a state of organized chaos. Now, what does that really mean? It means that there is some structure. It means that things are happening. There are processes in their systems, but it's not quite working exactly how you'd want it to. Now, you might still be getting a good result. So let's not say that it's broken, even though sometimes it is. But you don't think it's kind of quite there. It's not optimized, right? So that organized chaos is a very, very common thing. And even businesses that are doing over like $1 million or £1 million of net profit still have this sort of organized chaos syndrome. Now, what I say to business owners is you want to go from organized chaos to having a well-oiled machine, right? Everyone knows what that means, right? It kind of, the business runs, you know, precisely. It's focused, right? Lots of things are going on, but they're working in unison, right? There's handoffs that are very, very clear, right? Everything is aligned, right? That is a highly attractive position to be in if you are wanting to sell to private equity. Like, no doubt, that is a really, really powerful place to be. So the question then becomes, how do you go from organized chaos to well-oiled machine? Okay, well, there are three things. The first thing is about how you've structured your talent. Okay, so it's how you have built the machine so that you have the right people in the right seats. And it's not just about having the right leadership level, although that is the start. It's also making sure that you have the right people across and through your organization in key roles that are driving your strategy and driving your vision, right? What you're trying to achieve longer term as well as like the here and now. Now, people talk about, you know, having the right people in the right seats a lot, but how do you do it? Well, you know, there are lots of different ways to actually think about it, but you've got to audit what you've got. Firstly, you have to look at the people that you've got. You've got to understand the performance. You've got to look at them through the lens of both their capability and the cultural fit. And you need to make pretty focused, direct decisions around that. Now, I'm not going to go through all the how today, okay? It will take a long time for me to go through all the how. But I want to at least create the understanding of the areas, okay? So the first one is that people area, that talent area. The second area, certainly what we call in private equity, is systems automation. So it's not just about having great processes. That is absolutely the beginning, right? The starting point. But it's how you turn those processes into systems, and it's how you then blend technology to drive efficiency and automation. So the best businesses, the best well-oiled machines have that dialed in, right? And they're starting to use technology as a core enabler of that efficiency. And I get asked sometimes about, you know, do I like tech businesses? And my response to that is every business is a tech business if it's using technology to drive efficiency, if it's driving growth as well. Okay, so just think about that for a second. You don't have to be a tech business in inverted commas that's going to sell as a unicorn in some part of San Francisco, but you do have to understand the ability we have now with AI and tech to be able to create more value in our companies. And everything I'm talking about here today really is about, as I said, creating a high value exit. In order to do that, you've got to create a high value business. Okay. The third area is what I call data-driven decision-making. You know, running your business through metrics, KPIs, insights that come from data. And I like to look at this through the lens of the customer journey. Right? So everything from the very beginning, so someone doesn't know about you at all, so you have to make them aware, all the way through to kind of delivering that fantastic service, the next service, all the way through to lifetime value. Now, the cool thing about these three things, right? The right people in the right seats, the systems automation, this data-driven decision-making, is that if you get that right, and you're the business owner listening to this, and you're kind of a bit stuck in your business still, this is what I call the first exit. Right? Because what you get from this, the benefit you get from this, is that you can actually remove yourself from the day-to-day operations. So the benefit here is time. And that has a couple of different components to it. So you have time that you can spend outside of the business doing stuff that you love, right? You have time to spend on the business strategically, maybe driving more scale and growth. If you are stuck in the operation and you're the founder, A, it's very hard, if not impossible, to sell a business in that situation, right? Because, you know, if you are the cog in the center of the wheel and the whole thing doesn't work without you, that's not a business that's easy to transfer, okay? But the other thing is, you know, you're probably burnt out. You're probably stressed. You're probably thinking, God, you know, I wanted to start a business to have this entrepreneurial dream of freedom, but I'm not really experiencing that. So what happens sometimes when business owners come to us and we help them with this first area, this kind of strengthening foundations, this well-oiled machine, is they get so much time back that they create their own exit and the business is performing well, it's making money and it's making a heap of cash, and they kind of want to stay in that position for ages, let alone selling the company, right? So that might be a point where you say, you know what, I've got to this first exit, it's your exit, it's not you selling the company, and that's your goal. Nothing wrong with that, right? We want to get to that because it's kind of like level one of the way a private equity firm starts to structure a company, but it's got a massive benefit to you, the business owner, if you can apply that thinking now, okay? So that's the first piece, right? So I call it strengthening the foundations of the business, but it's going from that organized chaos to well-oiled machine. And if you take nothing else away from this episode today, just understanding those three things and starting to apply them in your business is going to give you, you know, a huge benefit just from understanding that and applying it. Okay, let's move on. So let's assume you've done that, right? You've strengthened the foundations, you've created more freedom for yourself, and now you're thinking, you know what, this is great, I enjoy this, but I want to kind of get the business more valuable, I want to scale. In situations like that, what I often discover is that businesses, even though they might have a certain amount of scale, they are still suffering from inconsistent growth. Okay, so they've got growth, you know, there are things that are happening, they're running campaigns. A lot of their growth is coming from traditional marketing methods, but it's not as consistent or predictable as they would like. In that situation, we want to shift from inconsistent growth to what I call profitable scale. Okay, so this is not just scale for the sake of it. And I find the definitions between growth and scale funny at the best of times. Like, you know, scale is just a sexier way of saying growth that's repeatable and predictable and, you know, to some extent sustainable, right? So I like to talk about it in terms of profitable scale because we're not just scaling for scale's sake. We are scaling to drive the profitability of the company to increase the cash flow, and that's increasing the value. It's increasing the enterprise value significantly, particularly if you want to sell to a sophisticated buyer in the future, okay? So as I'm going through this, ask yourself the question, am I just growing? Am I growing consistently or inconsistently? Can I actually measure that back to my data-driven decision-making previously? And more importantly, if I'm scaling or I say I'm in scaling phase in my business, am I driving profitable scale? Because that's the thing that really kind of makes the biggest difference for reasons I'll explain in a sec. So again, how do you do it? I'm not going to get into the detail, but I'm going to give you three things to consider, right? So the first thing you have to be thinking about is, am I producing recurring revenue, predictable recurring revenue in my business? Why is that important? If your business model is simply going out there and trying to acquire new customers, right, what I call, you know, hunting one customer at a time, and you're not having strategies around repeat purchase, increasing average order value, increasing pricing, the next logical step of product or service that your customer could buy. There are 12 different ways of driving subscription / recurring revenue as well, by the way, which I won't go into the detail today. There's a lot in there, but there are things like memberships. There are maintenance and service contracts if you're in that type of market. The idea here is that a lot of people don't understand the value of recurring revenue, but if you have a just recurring revenue in your business, it's going to increase your multiple when you sell. It's also going to reduce the cost of you having to go out there and hunt for new customers all the time. If you have a high percentage of recurring revenue that's, you know, as a percentage of your total revenue, it increases the multiple even further. So the first thing, before we get really kind of sexy with advanced scale strategies, the first thing we really want to look at is, are you optimizing your organic growth by focusing more on that recurring revenue piece? Okay, as I said, there's multiple ways we do it, multiple ways, you know, we teach it, right? But for now, just be aware of it. Okay, second, bolt-on acquisitions. Pretty obvious, right? You know, in private equity, if you've been listening to this show for a while or you know anything about the world of private equity, you know, buy and build is, you know, the main game, right? I'm going to buy a company in a market, right? You know, that's going to be my platform company. then I'm going to go and buy other businesses that might be like it, or I'm going to buy my suppliers. It's called vertical and horizontal integration strategies. I'm going to buy different businesses and create a group, and I'm going to then sell that group for a lot more money than what I paid, or certainly invested in creating the group. And private equity favor this because their metrics are very much around the time it takes to make a return to investors. So that's called IRR, so it's internal rate of return. And they're also measured on what's called an MOIC, which is the multiple of invested capital or multiple on invested capital. And that's simply how much money I put into creating this group versus what I sell that group for in the future. And they want to be looking at a 3 to 5 times on that. Okay, so I've talked about this in previous shows before, but just to be clear here, if a private equity firm buys a company for $50 million, they put another $50 million into that. So they've spent $100 million in total to create a group. So they might have one company plus 3 or 4 bolt-ons to create that $100 million group. They expect to sell that group in around about 5 years. It's between 4 and 7 years, but we'll average it 5 years for around about $300 million to anywhere up to $500, $600 million. Okay, so just think about those numbers. It's crazy, right? I've spent $100 million and I sell, right, for at least $300 million, possibly up to $500 or $600 million within a 5-year window. Okay, just incredible growth. So even as a business owner or even a small business owner, you need to be thinking about bolt-on acquisitions, A, once you've got those foundations in place, and B, once you've got your kind of recurring revenue, that sort of predictable revenue working for you. Okay, so you've got a really strong base to be able to grow from if you kind of go in this sequence. Okay. Now, the last thing that we do, and this is kind of great for any business, but it's very, very important if you're going to sell in the next sort of 12 to 18 months, and it's what we call margin expansion. So this is about going through the whole business and looking at all the ways that we can increase the margin. So private equity like margins, it depends on the industry, but they like margins that is kind of north of 30%. So if you've got a business where the net profit margin is, say, between 30 and 40%, right, it's a service business or whatever, that's extremely valuable, right? Now, of course, there are bigger manufacturing businesses where that net margin is lower because of the business model and how they work and just the way the market operates. But the higher the margin, the better. If you can increase the margin, it's also going to increase your profit and cash flow, obviously. And if you don't, again, decide to sell your business for a period of time, you've managed to make more money for the business and yourself just by focusing on this pillar, right? The first pillar, strength and foundations, is going to give you time, right? It's going to free you from the business, certainly operationally. This second pillar, which is about scaling value, is going to make you more money now. So a lot of people, once they kind of go through these first two stages, these levels that I'm talking about, they're very happy, right? They've created a high value business, but they're actually enjoying the benefits of a high value business without even having to exit. Okay, so the exiting piece becomes a bonus on top of that when you choose to do so. Remember what I said from the beginning, we're all about creating the option to exit on your terms and timeline. This is not about, hey, I'm not ready to exit because I want to, you know, I haven't even thought about it. This is about getting ahead of it so that if anything happens, you have that choice, okay? So what I've gone through now is I've told you the two critical areas that you can be applying in your business. So I hope this is super helpful, right? I mean, this is the sort of thing that usually when I kind of work with someone and go through this for the first time, they may have considered elements of it, but they haven't thought about it in connecting points, right? So they don't see the value of the sequence, but there is massive value in that sequence. Okay, the third area is when you are getting to the point where you're thinking, you know what? I've now created this business to a point where if I sold it, I'm going to get the number, right? I'm going to get that life-changing number, whatever that number is for you, okay? And I often advise people to be clear on what that number is. You know, is it 20 million, 30 million, 100 million? Whatever it is for you, it doesn't matter. But there's a point here where you're going to understand that if you did take your business to market over the next 12 months, 18 months, you're going to get that figure, okay? Now, that alone isn't enough, okay? So you might be able to get that figure from a valuation standpoint. In other words, you've got the business profitable enough and you're clear that there's going to be a range of multiple that's kind of going to work, right? But what you're missing at this point is that you're about to go and play a game that you've probably never played before. The stakes are that this is going to be the biggest financial event of your life. A, it's going to change your life now, but it could also change the life of your family for generations, okay? And I often say it's the absolute summit. It's the pinnacle of the entrepreneurial journey. Exiting your business for life-changing money, exiting your business for millions, okay? So in this situation, and take this as you will, I often say that most business owners are curious amateurs, meaning that they understand a bit, right? Maybe a little bit to be dangerous, right? Of what the world of private equity or a sophisticated buyer is, but not competent enough to win the game. And my mission is to help you win the game, right? Not get taken advantage of when you go into this world. And, you know, the reason I talk a lot about private equity is that a few years back, it used to be something like 50% of all high value transactions, in other words, 8 or 9 figure exits, used to be have some sort of private equity involvement. These days, and the projections going forward, it's going to be something like 70%. And the reason for that is there's so much capital sitting in private equity that even if you get acquired by a corporate, by a company, what we call a strategic, chances are they're going to have some private equity money involved in there somewhere. So the reason it's curious amateur, you know, piece is that, you know, as I said, you don't know what you don't know. But we want to make you a worthy opponent. So it's going from curious amateur to worthy opponent. So you know how to firstly play the game, but you also know how to win. Now, in my world, because I was the guy buying your business many years ago, you would have come up against someone like me. And, you know, without sounding too brash, I was buying businesses every day, pretty much, right? So if you're in a situation, or certainly my firm was, so if you're in a situation where you're going up against someone who's doing deals every single day, and you might have, you know, acquired a company once, but, you know, you've never sold a company. Can you see the gap, right? And because it's the biggest financial transaction, we have to narrow that gap. So by helping you become a worthy opponent, you are seen by the private equity as someone, okay, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be fun, but there's a level of respect that you need to have, right? And it's a confidence that comes from understanding how the game is played too, okay? And so what we want to do here, actually one more thing. I don't try and say to anybody, you're going to become a master of the game, right? To my point before that, you know, if someone's doing this day in, day out, they are going to be very, very good. We just don't want you to become the prey. Now, if you look at some of my stuff previously, I've talked about the prey versus the prize. And just to articulate that here quickly, in my old world of private equity, if you came in and you might have a good business, but you have no idea how to play the game, in my world, you are the prey, okay? And this is pretty hard to say because I remember I get a bit of PTSD talking about it still. But, you know, we would take advantage of that situation, right? Like, you know, we would get you emotionally drawn into us. We'd get you emotionally drawn into the exit, the number. You know, we'd use all sorts of different strategies and tactics to kind of win that game, while staying as detached as possible from the outcome, right? And you can imagine if you really want something and we're kind of not as attached to that, right? Then all of a sudden the stakes, if you like, shift massively, right? You know, we have a huge advantage. Now, if you know how to play the game, which I'm going to go through briefly in a second, then, you know, you can stay much more objective. You know, you become the cool character in this relationship. And some of the stuff that I teach in my programs is how to actually flip the switch and make the private equity or the sophisticated buyer more emotionally attached to you. And that's not just about how great your business is. It's also about how you show up. So a lot of this phase is not just about the business. It's about your identity becoming much more congruent and confident with the process you're going to go through. And let's be frank here, a sales process can take a year. So you are going to have to be stepping in and being this individual, this person for 12 months to be successful. But at the end of that, you might get a multiple that's 2 or 3 points higher, right? And let's say your business is doing 5 million, right, of net profit, right? And you get 2 or 3 more points on that. That's $15 million you have made, right, additional, just because A, you know how to play the game, and B, you've learned how to control yourself through the process, so you are that prize, right? You're seen as that worthy opponent, and you're seen as someone that is actually, you know, respected through the whole process by these people, by these sophisticated buyers. Okay, huge advantage, right? Huge. So let me go through this quickly. So similar to what I did with the whole strength and foundations and the scaling value piece, in this situation, we want to focus on selling your business, right? So we've got to the point where you've created the option to sell and you've decided to do it, but we're selling smart. We're selling intelligently because we know how to play and win the game, okay? So three things here as before, right? So the first part is understanding the M&A process, and that's what I call the perfect exit process. Now, I'm not going to go through that today. It could be a whole other podcast episode, but it is important to understand what the perfect exit process is, and you can learn it and you can apply it. A lot of this is also about just learning how the game is playing and getting educated, being around other business owners, entrepreneurs who are also learning, right? So you can collaborate there and really kind of like sort of getting immersed in this. And you can do that early before you're ready to exit, or you can do it when you're getting closer to exit, but you have to do it, right, at some point. The second part is making sure you have the best deal team you possibly can. I call it the dream deal team. And this is advisors, it's, you know, investment banker, it's tax, you know, tax experts. It's obviously any other kind of financial expertise that's needed around auditing your business, you know, an amazing M&A lawyer. There's a few roles here, right? Most of those I just mentioned are external. You've also got to know how to structure your internal team to know who's going to work on the sales process versus who's going to continue running the business, okay? But this idea of creating a deal dream team is critical, right? And what I'd say here is, you know, if you followed what I said beforehand, you've got a business where the foundations are super strong, you've scaled the value of the company, you're going to have more profit to invest, right? If you've done all of those things, spending more money now to get the right team is going to pay back massively when you sell your company. So don't skimp here, right? Definitely invest what's required so that not only are you the worthy opponent that we mentioned beforehand, you've got a team of people behind you that makes it even more powerful, okay? Third bit, and this is the last bit, so we're almost going to wrap up. You have to create or learn to create a compelling exit story. Now, you might think, well, my exit story is I'm going to exit for millions, right? You said that. Yes, that's your exit story, but you haven't got a compelling story for the future of the business, and that has to be part of it too. Sometimes that's the vision of the business, but it's a little bit more nuanced than that when we get into it. If you think about when you sell a business, people, sophisticated buyers, are going to pay a high multiple based on the future growth, the future projections, the excitement of the business going forward. And I like to say, when you sell a business, certainly to private equity, it's like a baton pass. You might be exiting the business at that point or in the next couple of years. You know, you've taken your business to where you want to get it, or maybe as far as you can get it. But someone's going to pay you a high number when they can take that business. They can see that there's a really interesting path to future growth and potentially massively increasing in projecting that future growth. And they want to hear that, right? So the more that you can talk about what the business is going to become and what the business can do and how it can expand and different businesses it can acquire and where it can go internationally, the different customer segments that can be brought in, the different products and services and solutions, the more that you can talk through that and create it in advance, right? Don't delegate this to an investment banker. They're not going to know, right? And you talk about kind of all of that in a high level of detail. That's why it's a vivid exit story. That's where you start to make that shift of the emotional change. If most business owners can't even talk about this stuff. If you can talk about this stuff because you've prepared in advance, can you see that that sophisticated buyer is going to lean in? They're going to become more attached. And as soon as they do that, they are going to pay more for the business because you are going to stand out versus a sea of other potentially great businesses, but yours is special. So there's a lot in this episode, okay? 30 minutes, I think I've been going here. And it is a build on from a previous episode I mentioned, the 15 reasons why your business won't sell to private equity. But I wanted to break down the kind of framework, if you like, the stages, the levels in more detail for you. Because if you understand that, right, today it's not about the how. You know, you will have some ideas, I'm sure. But you have to understand the kind of what first, right? So what does this need to look like? What do I need to understand? And then you can move into the how do I execute, right? And that's obviously going to be different for all of you because you've all got different businesses at different stages. So I hope that's useful. I'm going to pause there so this doesn't turn into a massively long episode. But I know that, you know, a lot of the feedback I get from you guys is that you love these solo episodes. You like it when I go deep into a topic. So I wanted to do that today. A couple of other things I'd also want to do. So I mentioned the podcast episode. It's my number one downloaded one. I've also created what I'm calling the Exit for Millions Blueprint. And I'll leave a link to this in the show notes. And this is kind of like a build from that episode. And it takes into account a little bit more of the how, right? The areas that you need to focus on that I've articulated at a high level today. So it is covering the 15, what we're calling danger areas, the areas that you need to work on. They're the areas that could sabotage this dream of achieving a life-changing exit. But what I've done is I've talked about the things that you can do to improve it. And also within the document, it's about a 20-page document, I've given you the ability to be able to assess yourself. Okay, so I've done it in a kind of red, amber, green way. So there's 15 questions there. And depending on whether you have that structured and set up in your business right now will depend on what score you give. Okay, so if it's not there, it's a red, right? It's a danger area. If it is there and you think, you know what, if someone came in and kicked the tires on my business and did due diligence or any of that sort of stuff, then you know what, they would go, yeah, this is a green, right? This is something that is set up and optimizing my business. So I hope that's a valuable resource for you. As I said, we'll put the link into the show notes. It is exitformillionsblueprint.com. And I suggest that you listen to that podcast episode, The 15 Reasons, and download this, and then you'll have a couple of really, really powerful resources to sort of focus your business and giving you that option to build value to an exit either now or in the future. Cool. Okay. The last thing also is I get heaps and heaps of people every week wanting to jump on a call. And I'm at the point now where I can't do it. I would love to do it, by the way, just to be clear, but it gets crazy. So what I'm starting to do is I'm going to run what I call group strategy sessions. And the reason for that is I want people to be able, if they want to kind of come on and spend an hour with me, with other business owners, entrepreneurs, they want to talk about their Exit for Millions blueprint, for example. They want to understand a bit more detail about what I've gone through today. I'm going to run these sessions probably once a month. No charge, free sessions. But it gives me an ability, if you like, to also be clear with my time, intentional with my time to be able to help. But at the same time, if you want to come in and you want to ask a question about how you're scaling your business, how you're, you know, moving towards an exit or building towards an exit, then you have the opportunity to do so. So we'll have a link on my website very soon of how to join those. My website, by the way, is highvalueexit.com. Or you can always reach out on LinkedIn if you want to know more about them. Just reference group strategy session if you send me a note and one of my team will get back to you with the details. But the first point of call I'd suggest is have a look at this blueprint, the Exit for Millions blueprint, because that's going to help you a lot. Alrighty, I'm going to leave it there. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope there was a heap of value in it. And if you do want to kind of jump on one of those sessions, I look forward to seeing you very soon. As I always say, be grateful, be brave, have faith, show up, build a massive, fantastic, fun, high-value business. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of Scale Up with Nick Bradley. If you enjoy the show just as much as I enjoy creating it for you, then I'd really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, why not subscribe to the channel so you never miss a future episode? It really helps me, it helps the show, plus it makes it easier for others to access the content that I'm producing week in and week out. And finally, if you want more information about anything you heard in today's show, or to find out how you can get more help in scaling up your business and your life, click the link in the show notes now to learn about our coaching, mentoring, and mastermind programs. See you soon.